Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Joining us on the Big Fred Tuesday is director João Paulo Miranda, whose film Memory House is presented at the 2020 Torino Film Festival. João Paulo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. We are going to be talking about your film Memory House, currently screening or being presented at the online edition of the Torino Film Festival. Just for time's sake, for those unfamiliar with Memory House, would you like to maybe briefly introduce it a little bit and tell us about its story, let's say?
Yes. Memory House, it's one Brazilian film. Of course, it's one co-production between France and Brazil, but the story is in Brazil, about one old and black man from the Brazilian north who will go to the south to work in a factory and live in a very conservative and traditionalist place, society. It's one kind of Austrian colony from people who came from the Second World War, for example. They founded this place. And then he will live there and he will suffer a lot of the intolerance, like racism, xenophobia, and it's a very dangerous place. It's one kind of Brazil, very different from what the people usually see. It's not one kind of tropical paradise. It's another thing. It's one cold place, but it's all real. It looks like a little exaggerated, but it's all the elements are real. And it's one kind of metaphor about the Brazil today.
So at some point, this leading character that you mentioned finds a cabin in the woods full of objects that remind him of his origins. After that, what follows is, I would define, an intense, hypnotic journey. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. That's why it's called Memory House. He finds this place, one kind of abandoned house, with a lot of elements who connect him to one very, very old past. Not only his story, but the family, the ancient roots, the other generations. So it's he finds there a lot of elements who connected him to a very far past, an old past. It's one journey about culture too, because it's one character looking for his origin, looking to find who he is. So he's looking to his story, to his origin, and of course to be connected to something maybe more spiritual, to say a little like that, because he goes so far to something so ancient, and then he becomes to connect with one spiritual entity that in Brazil, it's one religion came from Africa and Indian descendants that we call Umbanda. And inside this religion, we have the figure, the mythic figure of the cowboy, the North Brazilian cowboy, the boiadeiro. And this entity means the transformation, the renew, the revolution, the death of something old and something new arising. So it's a little more about that. Of course, it's everything like sutil. It's more suggestive than in one way didactic, because my idea is really to play with the sense, the sensibility of from the audience, something that you will more feel than really understand each element.
To feel more than to understand. That's an interesting idea of cinema.
Yeah, sure. Cinema, it's something, it's one art. I think that sometimes we forget, because sometimes we always think about the content, the entertainment, the story, something so material, and we forgot the abstraction. We forgot that we need more suggest than really show something. I think the biggest challenge for a filmmaker, it's how to bring the invisible to visible. It's what Robert Bresson, the famous French cinema maker, and said this phrase, that the biggest work from the director is how to bring the invisible to visible. And something that we can see a lot in, like, in the 60s, for example, in the outdoor cinema, for example, with Pasolini, Antonioni, like Blow Up in Antonioni, that you need to imagine one invisible ball. And of course, we can see this in Kubrick too, and something hypnotic that we more feel that understand.
Hmm. I've seen your film defined as a political film. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, sure. Too. Yes. In the same point, the intention to make something artistic and outdoor, I need to say that the cinema always will deal about something social, something about our society, and of course the politics. So we need to engage. I think, and more now with this big crisis and. And in some countries, of course, now in U.S. is changing, but in Brazil, we continue to live in with this conservative mood and fascist mood. So we need to deal, we need to fight, we need to change something, to provoke something. And so the art, I think, that brings this point to one kind of provocation, to make the people awake, to make the people react. So that's the point in the film. It's not only the content of one revenge or revolution from this guy from the north, but something in the form too, in the language too.
So Antonio Pitanga stars in the lead role. He's truly captivating. What was it like working with him?
Oh, was fantastic! Fantastic is something one of the biggest honor that I had in this film, because always since the beginning when I wrote this story in 2015, I already imagined the presence of Antonio Pitanga, who is the one who made the first Glauber Rocha film. Part of the Cinema Novo movement, it's the modern cinema movement in the 60s in Brazil, and he made part of the only winner of the Gold Palm in Cannes, the only one Brazilian film who won the Palme d'Or, and so now it's something like forgotten, because he has 80 years old now, 81, and everybody was really surprised to this opportunity, because they didn't believe that he could make something like that, because sometimes the producer imagined one guy more a little more young, of 50 years old and strong and rustic guy, and then I call this man, old man, and this man, Antonio Pitanga, he is the body of the history of Brazilian cinema. So it's something that it's like the proper memory house. So he is the memory man. So you can see in his eyes, in his body, the history. So something invisible. So that's why too that I also worked a lot in the silence, because I would like to bring something the invisible, something that you can feel, you can see something like the history. So he bring this, and it was so fantastic this experience with him, because of course he shared a lot of experience. But in the same point, I made one challenge, because he never before made one full and strong role character like this one. It was something really a big challenge to him. And everybody now in Brazil that it's watching now, they are really surprised because no one imagined so strong his performance today.
When it comes to the link between your film and Cinema Novo, I think it's so significant, especially at this time. Anybody who's not familiar with this movement is, it was a prominent film movement in Brazil in the 60s and 70s, particularly. And I've got to say, João Paulo, I after watching the film, I really got this urge to watch Cinema Novo films, Baravento and all the other ones, and they're not that easy to find.
Yes, unfortunately not. And one another thing that it's a really sad story, it's that the situation of the Cinematheque in Brazil, the place where it's our memory house of the history of Brazilian cinema, and now Bolsonaro really closed the place. And today I saw one news that they will try to reopen, but in a very strange way, because they fired everybody from the technical team. So people that knows from decades how to preserve the archives, and now they are fired. And they imagine the Cinematheque, it's only one kind of cinema theater, and it's not. They have the responsibility of the history, the memory, and the archives of cinema, like the films from Cinema Novo. So unfortunately, it's not so easily to find. But of course, for example, from Glauber Rocha, the film that he won the best direction in Cannes, the film Antonio das Mortes, it's one film that I know that we have a very good version in France, in Cinémathèque Française, the French Cinémathèque. So they have one very good version there. But it's complicated. It's unfortunately, it's complicated.
We mentioned the influence of Cinema Novo earlier on the film, but in terms of style, I also noted a pinch of surrealism. Are you aware of that? Because at times, for instance, the lead character of your film also somewhat recalled the lead character, say, of a novel by Franz Kafka.
Of course, Kafka, of course, it's one influence. But I have another name from my country, from Brazil, for example. It's Guimarães Rosa. It's one writer, and he made several books about the countryside, the Brazilian man, and mixed with the mysticism, something, the spirituality, something from another dimension. So something religious sometimes. So in the same point, he wrote books about a specific region, something so exotic, the culture, but in the same point, he made something so universal because the surrealism. So in this kind of film that I made, of course, a lot of people, maybe in the first impression, they will see something so exotic. But in one second moment, you start to see something so universal. You can see the Greek mythology there too. You can see the religions too. So, and of course, the point of the animal and the way, of course, the black people, how they were treated in past. So we can see a lot of interpretation of the story, the way that this character, because it's a very complex and deep character, because he's not one kind of 100% victim. He's one poor man from the countryside, very simple, like a stone, who hide a lot of sentiments inside and not show that. But little by little, you can start to know that he contains inside the machism, the preconcept too, and then we can see something so magic in the same time, something so this spiritual point, something, this entity that he belongs. So it's something that it's like my heroes, my real heroes are these very simple and rustic people that we don't see them like superheroes. They are not strong. They are very simple, but in one moment they could surprise us and show something something so strong from another dimension. It's a power from another dimension. I think in Brazil I can feel a lot of this kind of stories because in Brazil we are very religious. The people really have a lot of beliefs, and this is one important point in the film. The idea to make one film that look like one kind of ritual, and the people will feel like a transe. For example, the music of the film saying, oh, it's time. This is a specific religious music from the temple of Umbanda to really cause the figure of the Brazilian cowboy to make a revolution. So maybe if I play this music or I play this film in one Umbanda temple, a lot of people will start to vibrate, to really dance and to manifest this kind of entity, something magic, something so surrealist and crazy.
Yeah, there really is a lot in this film, actually. That's really the sense that I got from it, is just it makes so many observations about not only Brazil, but just existence in general. What you mentioned, for example, about your lead character, your heroes, let's say, also being kind of broken and imperfect in their own ways. Masculinity, the masculine mentality. I'm sure a lot of people are making the link with colonialism. There is so much in it. How do you keep an eye on everything? How do you control everything, though?
Oh, of course. Yes, it's not easy, of course. It's hard work. But for me, each element, each sound, each image, each frame, everything came from a hard work of think, of reflection, something that I really need to rethink. And I write a lot of notes about each image, about each movement. So it's my way. I'm not like a perfectionist, but I have one kind of obsession. I really need to go very deep. For example, how to find one way to, for example, show the soul of my character. It's something subtle in the film that maybe not everyone who will see that. But for example, the bright in the eyes, on the eyes of the characters, it's not something via digital. It's something real. I made something rewatching one film from Kubrick, the 2001, when I saw the jaguar scene, because he used one projector to make the sky and the background in the studio and to shoot the jaguar. And this projection project this light and show it one bright inside the eyes of the jaguar, because the animals comport in a different way, the iris of the eyes. So I made like the same in my set. I worked with my DOP one way to how we make one very dark set from the side of the camera, and the character when looks to the camera, the eyes, the iris, it's more open. And I used one kind of mirror reflex that the actor cannot see the light, but we can send one specific light to his eyes. And then I can see the bright of the bloody inside the eyes. So it's something so obsession and so technical, one little detail, but to me change everything. Change everything. So I can build something. I know that it's a lot of risk. I think that this film, it's one kind of risk film because it's not one like a good taste and normal conventional film. It's something different. I know that sometimes it's a risk how to show one character so complex that sometimes could be a little cold, that it's not so close to the audience, but it's so real. And in one moment, you will be connected for that. So it's something that I really believe. And to me, one very strong reference, it's like Kubrick, for example.
Yeah. We're running out of time, but I'm kind of inspired by what you said to ask you another question, because it seems like, yes, you almost had this very careful, to the point of obsessive control over every aspect of the film. At least you try to have every control. But then you can only have so much control over how a viewer will react to it. But I'm not really, you know, we talked earlier about this being a film, or you said that this is more a film that people should feel rather than understand, which is a great definition. But do you ever think about how an audience will react to it coming from, let's say, the film is screening in Torino, so a European perspective, since especially this film deals with so much that entails your own country of Brazil?
Yes, I think a specific country will change, of course. We'll see something different. But I don't know, the film was supposed to be in the official competition in Cannes this year. So I received a very good feedback, because the film was first supposed to be in Critics Week. They selected the film. And then 1 week after, the Fortnite directors really loved it and wanted the film, but to the next year. And then some days after, the official competition said that it wanted. So, of course, I accepted, and even without the festival, to me, I imagine that would be great to be in this very selective list. So, and after the film was in Toronto, that was something very different, because I didn't go there because the pandemia, and I just listened commentaries from the people. And then what really surprised me was one kind of list from Variety. They made one list with, I think, 17 critics, international critics, and they made the prediction for Oscar. And they put my film in the 5 nomination for international Oscar. And this was really surprising to me, because I worked hard to make one more outdoor film, more like artistic and like strange in a simple way to say. But so for me, it was very strange. So I could, in this information, I could feel that the possibility to make something so singular, so unique, so strange, and in the same time be connected to one kind of audience from the entertainment industry, for example. So I can feel this possibility. And of course, something very curiosity to me is like some people felt the film so some way like violent. And violent in some way, principle in the animal scenes. And there was something so surprising to me, because if you look in a cold way, everything it's out of the frame. It's all the violence, it's out of the frame. You are looking what happening a little before the act or a little after the act. So you not see the really act. It's something like even the moment in the end of the spear. So you cannot see the point. It's something that it's out of the frame. So it was something very curiosity that the people felt so strong. And one detail, it's about the moment of the death of the dog, for example. Because the people felt so strong in a lot of people, but I saw one other commentary from Toronto and from the normal audience, and to me was like a positive point. And why? Because the people started to fear something that was not explicit. because they didn't saw the violence, but they saw the moment before the death, the moment when the dog will turn the head and look to your eyes and will look and face you, the audience, and you feel so impotent that you cannot change anything. And then cut to the face of the Pitanga, and then he made the act to sacrifice the animal. But you cannot see anymore the dog.
All right, João Paulo, we're going to have to wrap it up, but it's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry to say so much things.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.